Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can I just ask?
Shut up, Evan.
I'm curious.
Could you shut up, Evan?
One thing I was thinking about.
Shut up, Evan.
So there are some rumors out there.
Evan, shut up!
Is it okay if I just ask?
Shut up, Evan.
Okay, but can I just.
Shut up, Evan.
I didn't even say anything.
I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been a while. The last time was at the Mew Mew event that you hosted back, I think it was last year. And what a year you've had since then.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I have to tell you, I marvel at thinking about, you know, we met in January of 2022.
Yeah.
Funny enough, do you remember we did that interview in that like abandoned church?
Yes, we were in the church. We were sitting like on the stage, such a weird location. You did the first and only ever cover that all the Euphoria girls were on.
It's true. It's true. And what's funny about it, and this really connects to our conversation right now, is during that interview, you had mentioned to me your aspiration to start producing more work. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, since then, you executive produced a feature. You've now produced another feature. So a lot of the conversation we had has come to fruition. So this feels very full circle.
It does. I love this.
Yeah. So I want to start by asking you about what I would call a serve spree that you have been on. Women's Wear Daily wrote that you were channeling the coquette aesthetic at the South by Southwest premiere of your film Immaculate. I don't know what that means, but okay. While People Magazine wrote that you went goth at the LA premiere. And then we had Yahoo calling your Miu Miu gown at the GLAAD Awards Cinderella Core. So talk to me about the style switch up we've seen from you, especially coming off the press tours of Anyone But You and Madam Web.
That is so all over the place. I don't really know what to say. Wow. I love a good theme. I'm always down for a good theme. Always down for a fun and bold choice. That's what's great about fashion. You get to be and dress up as anything you want. And yeah. There's no rules to it.
I have to say, I particularly love the balmain you wore with those with the hands on
yes,
it.
The
it
was sculpture.
Yeah, I felt very on theme with the film.
I loved it. I've never worn anything like it before. Usually a lot of sculpture type outfits don't fit my boobs because the boobs are usually very tiny and there's no way that I fit inside. And this was one of the first outfits that was like an art piece that finally I could wear because they fit.
And it fit you beautifully, might I add. So I absolutely love that.
Thank you.
You know, as I just mentioned, you had Anyone But You in December, then Madam Web last month, and now Immaculate. You were an executive producer on Anyone But You, which recently crossed the 200 million mark at the box office, which needs to be said. And then your role on Immaculate as a producer. And like I said, when you and I first met, you talked about this aspiration. It's come to fruition now. But I think what's worth noting about all of this is in my conversations with Dave Bernad, who you worked with originally on The White Lotus and now again on Immaculate, he sort of mentions to me that a lot of actors like to say that they are producers, but in your case, he said that you really do the work. He said you were on every scout and offered up casting notes and really showed a commitment to the role of producer. And so I want to know where that desire and that work ethic comes from, because these are projects that you're also starring in.
I've always loved to be a part of everything. And being able to also have a creative decision, a part of a bigger process than just the character and the decisions about choices the character makes, I was so creatively fulfilled. I love the business side. I think it's so fascinating. I think it's like this fast rush game. It's like a Tetris puzzle piece that you have to fit in the right places. It's chaos, and I thrive in chaos. I love it.
Did you always have that business acumen, or is it something you've developed as you've sort of moved through the industry?
My mom definitely instilled the business side of me. Like, school was always number one in my life. I loved learning. I love education. Like, if I had time, I'd randomly probably go to law school just because I'd like to try and see if I could succeed at that. So being able to be a part of more of the business side and learning about financing and budgeting and permits and everything that goes into be able to say day one on a call sheet, I loved.
Which makes me wonder, have you thought at all about directing? Because it does feel like in the pipeline of actor, now executive producer, that does seem like it falls into that sort of tree, you know? But is that something you've considered?
Maybe. I think that if I find a story that I really, really want to tell that I can't imagine anyone else telling, maybe. We'll see.
Okay. So I put a call out to some friends, coworkers, and fans of yours to ask some questions. And I got quite a response. So we have a few to share with you. So first up is your Euphoria co-star and dear friend, Maude.
Hi, Sydney. Okay. My question for you is, was there a performance or a movie or a TV show that you saw as a kid that inspired you to want to become an actor? Love you.
I love her so much. If I had to choose like specific projects that might have inspired me to be an actor, I want to point out that I was not an avid like movie or TV watcher. I played outside. I was on tons of sports. My parents did not want my brother and I sitting in front of a TV or playing video games. I was building tree houses outside. Like, that was my childhood. The movies that I did watch, I always fell in love with. And those would be, and I was quite young watching them, but like Titanic, Phantom of the Opera. And I loved these big world building set pieces that felt grand and then beautiful, but then heartbreaking at the same time. They piqued me creatively, but it was truly my imagination. Just imagining being different people playing outside. And I would build all these imaginary worlds and have my friends like pretend and cast them in different roles. And I didn't even know conceptually what I was doing, but I just knew I loved playing and pretending to be other people.
I love that answer because I feel similarly. You know, I work in the fashion industry, and like, I didn't even know that Vogue existed growing up. And whenever you talk to a lot of people in this industry, you'll get these stories of like, you know, I grew up and I would like rifle through my mom's Vogues or something like that. And not only was that not me, I didn't even know of the world of fashion. That was just not in my head whatsoever. So I appreciate the perspective of like, I'm in this industry now, but it doesn't mean that like my heart beat for this always. It's like you developed the interest in it.
Exactly. And I love that you say that because I get asked all the time about, did you dream of wearing Miu Miu and Prada and all these designers? Or did you grow up watching the Oscars? And I'm like, I didn't even know what these things were growing up.
Yeah, you were outside.
Yeah. I didn't learn what all these designers in fashion were until I finally got invited to my first fashion show, which was Miu Miu. And they were like, okay, you have to hire a stylist. And then the stylist starts pulling these different designers. And you don't know, it's all a learning experience. I didn't grow up knowing any of it. It's I love that you were like, I didn't read Vogue either.
Yeah, it's a refreshing answer. I like to hear it. So our next question comes from two figures that I've been told you are huge fans of, and they were like super eager to record this question for you. So,
hey, Sydney, it's Drew and Jonathan Scott, your favorite Property Brothers.
We have an important question for you. Have you ever had a really, really creepy experience that led you to believe that the house you were in was haunted?
You got me to my core.
That is so funny because Bernard and I were talking and we were like, who should we get for Sydney? And he was like, this is the one that's going to make her lose her shit.
Freaking out. Yes. Actually, the house that I'm currently living in, I found out that the man of the house died in the house. And I did not know that going into it. And there are some times where I feel like
something walked through a doorway. I feel like I'm still living in his house. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I respect your house. I respect your things. I'm sorry I just hit the wall accidentally.
I think you've made the smart move, which is like, if he's still there in some form, it's like being respectful of yes. the space as his is the best way to move about it. Because as we've seen in many a horror film, when the family moves into a house where there's a spirit and they don't acknowledge or recognize or respect the spirit oh, often doesn't go their way.
Fully respect, like to the point that I knew that his wife, she loved her garden and she had the most beautiful rose bushes, but they were scattered all around and I really wanted to put like grass back there. So I uprooted all of the rose plants and put them in one section so I had a rose garden so that all of her rose bushes could still be there because I was too afraid of taking them away from the property.
Smart. Okay, last but not least, we have one of your co-stars from The White Lotus. I asked her to submit a question. She texted me back saying that she was going to submit three and that I could pick one. And then as you'll hear, she actually asks five questions. So here we go.
Hi, Sydney. It's Molly. I just want to say I adore you. And you already know that. But anyhow, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and you can choose one to answer. So here are my questions. I'm going to do them real fast. Sydney, I think of you as an incredible businesswoman. I want to know, did you have a mentor or did you always have that business savvy? I'm just curious about that. Were you always that way from the time you were a kid or did you learn about business after you came to Hollywood? My second question is, what did you have for breakfast this morning? I want to know what Sydney Sweeney eats for breakfast. My third question is, I had the best time doing White Lotus with you. I want to know what was the most fun part of shooting White Lotus in Hawaii. And my third question is, who was the first person who believed in you in Hollywood? And my last question is, what was the most surprising part of hosting SNL? You were phenomenal, by the way. So I just want to know about that. So if you could pick one of those questions and answer it, that would be great.
Oh, Molly. I'll answer two of them.
Okay, great.
The breakfast one's hilarious. I had bacon, berries, a delicious butter croissant, and an oatmeal raisin cookie.
That was important information.
Yes, very important information. Second, the business side. I have to thank my mom because she instilled that in me from a very young age. I remember when I was 12 or 13 years old, it was the first year that we ever came down to LA for pilot season. We were at an audition at the Gower Studios and it was for like a co-star role on some network TV show. Did not get it. When we were leaving, there was a sign to a networking group where every month this group of people would get together and they would sit in a giant room around tables and they would go one by one and do an elevator pitch about themselves. And then at the end of the meeting, you had to group up with 7 to 10 people, share information, and then a week later, schedule a time to all meet and discuss whatever you guys were working on. And so it was a great way to work on pitching yourself, growing your network, and seeing if there were other people that you could collaborate with. My mom saw this sign. We were supposed to be going to the car to leave this audition. And she goes, let's go check this out. And I'm like 12. I'm like, mom, we're going to get in trouble. This is so embarrassing. We cannot do this. Mom, because I have social anxiety. I was like, oh my gosh. And she knows that I have stage fright. She's like, you need to overcome this because you're nervous in audition rooms. And so we walk into this place. I mean, it is just all 30-year-old plus men in suits. And I'm like, mom, this is so embarrassing. My mom walked up to whoever she thought looked like they were in charge and was like, I'd really like my daughter to join. They were like, kind of confused, wasn't quite sure what was going on, but they said, sure, why not? So I randomly find myself sitting at this table. And when I say there were probably like 40 people inside and a 12-year-old little girl sitting there listening to everybody pitch themselves. And then I had to stand up and do an elevator pitch about myself and sit back down and then meet with people afterwards. I did that for like 3 years and it was once a month. I have to thank my mom because I learned so much. I learned so much about one, pitching yourself, listening, all the different people that are in this industry, like they were just anybody who was anybody was in the room. And so it started from a very young age of being interested in all of the different people that were involved in this industry. One of the major catalysts of me really wanting to be more on the producing side was when I was filming Sharp Objects. Jean-Marc Vallée was such an incredible visionary and filmmaker, but also a really beautiful human being. He saw in me what I always dreamt of people seeing in myself. And he cast me in my first recurring role on a show. The character was originally only supposed to have one episode, and it was a guest star role on a show. And then he ended up putting me in every episode, even if it was just a flash, because I loved being on set. And he made me feel welcome enough to be able to come to that set, even when I wasn't filming. And I started running around with his producing partner, Nathan Ross, who would sit me a video village. I would watch how they'd work. I would get to listen to their meetings during lunch. And I was just like this small role on this show. I'm so thankful for that, because I remember sitting there and watching how everybody worked and how they ran all their different departments and wanting to do this myself. One of my first properties of IP that I got was the Players Table that I then brought to Nathan Ross and the late Jean-Marc Vallée. And now Nathan and I, we go after property together and develop it.
What a beautiful thing to say. He saw in me what I wanted people to see in myself. That is just a really special, special thing to have that. So that's incredible. Let's talk about Immaculate. I want to start with your scream. My friend Christopher is the ultimate horror aficionado. And he texted me after seeing the film and he wrote, quote, Sydney Sweeney has a terrific all-timer extended scream and extreme close-up toward the end that seems like it should have hospitalized her. First of all, do you have an ultimate scream queen? Mine, it should come as no surprise, is Sarah Michelle Gellar. Do you have one that's sort of your scream queen, the be-all, end-all?
I mean, maybe like Drew Barrymore, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Both correct answers. Yeah. As he said, this is an all-timer, but also we should note, you've made your scream print known on Euphoria. I do wonder, first of all, who would win in a scream-off, Cassie or Cecilia?
Cecilia's screams are very guttural. Cassie's is very desperate. We're at different pitches. Cassie's probably breaking some mirrors and some glass, and Cecilia is probably going to get locked up afterwards.
Yes. I would concur. Now, I heard that this was a particularly tough scene to film because of the fake blood that got in your eye. Can you walk me through what exactly happened?
Okay, so funny. Press, as usual, getting things wrong. The fake blood in my eye is from the scene right before it. And it's when I'm laying on the ground and I'm in a physical struggle altercation where then blood splatters all over me. And blood ended up getting all over me. And it was one of those things where the reset was going to take so long. And everyone was like, oh my God. And I'm like, don't fucking quit. We're doing this. And we just kept going. Even though it got in my eye, I couldn't open my eye. It was a whole thing. The final scene, the blood was already on me. And it was very stuck.
Yeah. This is a incredibly scary film, and I'm wondering, are you the kind of actor that is scared making a horror film, or you sort of separate yourself from it and it's just work? Like, I have to imagine if I were in your position making this film, many of these scenes would have sent chills down my spine. Have you watched it back at all, and are you scared watching the film?
It's definitely not as scary making it. It's quite fun, actually. I was scared when we were in the catacombs, because we were actually in real catacombs, and that was a bit terrifying. But watching it back is just, it's different, because Dave, Mike, and I, Rick, we were all sitting in the editing room watching the entire process. So it's like, I've seen it so many times, and I've seen it so many different ways that now I'm looking around to see how people react, and if they jump, they jump, and it's fun feeling all the energy.
So you do this rom-com, which many people are crediting you with sort of revitalizing that genre. Then you do this superhero film. What was it about doing a horror film that felt like the natural progression? Because for people that are watching your career, and there are many, it's notable that you are sort of genre agnostic, which makes your career so exciting to follow.
Thank you. I just want to do something new and different every time. I think that's what's so cool and fun and fascinating about being an actor and then also now being able to produce the kind of content that I want to be in and just make. I don't want to be doing the same thing over and over. I want to find things that surprise me and surprise the audience and test me. And whether it sticks or not, that's what's so fun about art. There is no right or wrong. Everybody's own personal opinion about it. The way that it all fell together is really interesting because filmed Madame Web first, like a long time ago. And then while I was filming Madame Web, I was actually pitching both Immaculate and Anyone But You. I brought on Will Gluck, I brought on Glenn Powell. I started pitching it to different buyers, got into negotiations with Sony and SK Global. And then for Immaculate was when I, like during Madame Web as well, like Dave and I started taking it to financiers. We brought on Mike and we put the whole package together. When I got done with Madame Web, I went into prep on Immaculate, started location scouting, doing all the pre-production work, casting. And we filmed Immaculate. While I was filming Immaculate, I was in pre-production on Anyone But You. The week after I wrapped, Immaculate went to Australia, finished out prep, and then started filming Anyone But You.
Wow. I was going to ask you if there is a genre that you sort of are wanting to tackle next, but then I read a recent interview that you gave to Vogue, and you mentioned your love of ice cream, to which I saw someone online quote tweet that and say, "I cannot emphasize enough how badly we need a stoner comedy with Sydney Sweeney and Ayo Edebiri." I know you've got a lot on your plate, but I want to ask you, would you consider?
I mean, honestly, that sounds like a really funny time.
Right? Like, I read that and I was like, yeah.
Maybe that I just get to eat ice cream and snack the entire way through. I mean, that could be fun.
I agree. Now, one Euphoria question, and no, it's not about season 3. When I was doing my 25 most burned in the brain images list of 2022, I was trying to decide which Sydney Sweeney and Euphoria image to select, because there were quite a few. I ended up choosing the bathroom scene from the season 2 finale, but I'm also quite privy to the bathtub moment from the season 2 premiere. I'm wondering if you have a favorite Cassie meme.
Ooh, that is a really good question. I cannot believe how much Cassie has become a meme. That's the best part.
She really lives on. She and all the emotions of Cassie. I mean, because also I should mention there's a scene from the hot tub where you're crying in the hot tub as well. That also has a life as a meme as well. There's the scene, the Oklahoma scene in the bathroom, which is a lot of these scenes are bathroom related, I'm now realizing.
Cassie, I mean, when you're a teenager, you spend a lot of time in the bathrooms where you hear a lot about yourself.
Yeah, totally. On the topic of horror films, I get the sense Rosemary's Baby was somewhat of an inspiration in this film. It's quite evident, which is amazing because, I mean, I'm not going to be original here, but it's definitely one of my favorite horror movies of all time. And I'm always longing for more horror films with that depth. And I feel like this film delivers on that. And so I'm wondering, what are some of your favorite horror films?
Well, you are spot on because Rosemary Baby was definitely our biggest inspiration. Like when we put the entire pitch deck together, we used a lot of the imagery from that film. And then some of my favorites, I mean, The Shining, Nightmare on Elm Street, John Carpenter, like all of his OG films, Halloween, The Thing, Us, Jordan Peele's Us, I was fucking obsessed with.
So good.
So good. Lupita is unbelievable in it.
And the shot of them standing outside the house.
Yes, yes.
So creepy. Yes, absolutely. Also, have you happened to see on the Nightmare on Elm Street front the 1990 film New Nightmare?
No.
I just recently encountered it. I didn't even know about it. It's Wes Craven directed it. I think it's like 1994, I want to say. But it's before, it's his last film before Scream. And it's basically like a meta take on Nightmare on Elm Street. Super worth checking out. I just recently watched it. So as soon as you said that, I was like, that popped in my brain. There are just so many good horror films, and I'm so glad that we can add Immaculate to that canon. In the vein of Molly Shannon's What Does Sydney Sweeney Have for Breakfast? If Sydney Sweeney could add anyone to Mount Rushmore, who would it be and why?
Jennifer Coolidge all the way. And I hope that they start to build memes and it's like all the men's faces and then Jennifer Coolidge.
Absolutely. Or you know what? Just an entire mountainscape of just various images of Coolidge. Yes.
Yes.
That's the perfect answer. I was also going to say someone that you just met the other night at the GLAAD Awards, Oprah Winfrey, would also be a good select.
I mean, that would be an amazing select. Also, still cannot believe that I met Oprah. Oh my God.
Yeah, Oprah. Okay, my last question. You have a film coming out, I believe, later this year, Echo Valley, that will see you teaming with the queen, the icon, the legend, Julianne Moore. The film has a script from Mayor of Easttown creator Brad Inglesby. Obviously, I'm a huge Mayor of Easttown fan. I'm pre-shaking for this film already. There's not a lot online about it, and I'm just wondering, is there anything you can tell us about this project?
Continue shaking, because there's not much I can say, but it's going to be incredible. Brad is such a brilliant, smart writer, and Julianne is just unbelievable, and the work that she's doing in this film is like a masterclass watching her. Michael Pierce, our director, is just brilliant, and it's going to leave a lot of people just blown away.
I love you saying continue shaking. It's like my favorite response. Well, thank you so much for your time. I just want to again congratulate you. I am so in awe of the career that you have carved for yourself and continue to carve. And just, I marvel at your business acumen, and not to mention the fact that, you're 26, correct?
Yeah.
Wild already what you've accomplished and what you have ahead. And it's incredibly exciting to watch. And again, I just always hold on to that memory of us sitting in that church and you mentioning what you wanted for your future, and you made it happen already. And it's just incredible.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank All right.
So fun.
Yes. I hope to see you soon.
We will.
All right. Talk to you later.
Weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Shut up, Evan. Shut up, Evan. Shut up.
Shut Up, Evan is produced by me, Evan Ross Katz, with audio editing by Sophia Asmuth and social media by Griffin Dunn. Shout out to our Patreon subscribers for their financial support. And thank you to you all, the listeners, for helping us keep the lights on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.